hacer enojar, anda bien horneada. Ay, chiquita, es que tu mamá no me quiere nada. Ay, chiquita, se va a enojar, anda bien horneada. Baby, no me pongo necio, pero es que tu jefa me mira hasta con desprecio. Seguro me he dedicado a tres rolas de Paquita mientras hace un brindis por la salud de su hijita. Chale, la neta no está chido. Quería ver el partido, voy a estar bien aburrido. Te pones hormonal para que venga contigo y todos mis amigos viendo el juego en el Sabino. Ay, chiquita, es que tu mamá no me quiere nada. Ay, chiquita, se va a enojar, anda bien horneada. Otra vez el mismo cuento. A veces me pregunto por qué soporto tanto. Yo sigo pegando como Pantro con los chacos. Y la suegra me tostemos en la mesa, en la mesa, en la mesa, en la mesa, en la mesa.
¿Qué onda, loco? El chivo aquí de vuelta. ¿Cuánto pagaste por este CD? Lo que haya sido, compa, no te agüites, porque ya sabes que el chivo te lo desquita. Y acuérdate que perro que ladra no muerde. Ya sabes, loco, ahí te voy. Guáchate.
Perro que ladra no muerde. 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 Perro que ladra no muerde.
Salen del cascarón, ya quieren bronca con el gallo. No me cuesta mucho de un putazo los callo. Los golpes del chivo son como dinamita. Cuando ando enfurecido el corral se paraliza.
Que no se te olvide que tu jefa te cuide. Del pleito que traigas soy el que sobrevive. Todos en este mundo quieren ser los chingones, pero para lograrlo hay que tener pantalones. No basta con decir yo soy el que mando, porque otro más chingón preguntará desde cuándo. Nunca hará falta que te la haga de pedo, que sin razón alguna te saquen el dedo. Muchas veces no entiende razón, la única forma es darles una lección. A ver, te dejo saber, compa, en mi contra tú vas a perder.
Perro que ladra no muerde. 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 Perro que ladra no muerde.
Perro que ladra no muerde. Trae tu valija, costillas sanas pa' que cubicas. Ey, cuando pones presión al rey, que si te en el palacio vive como un rey. No ocupo bien bien pa' dormir con varios tíos, ni tampoco invento que te para la vida de planchín. Si es fin, que este perro nunca para. Sigo escribiendo rimas que te ponen remojada. Mamá, enredate en mi cama y despierta pensando en tus cochinadas. Ay, mamita, no seas malita y dame un poco de tu cosita. Chiquita rica, que estás bien buena, dale machina hasta cuando duela. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa'l gangster. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa' darle. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa'l gangster. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa' darle.
A veces duermo con dos, a veces duermo con una, a veces duermo con tres y a veces que con ninguna. Así es mi vida chula y ese es mi cotorreo. Pero ay, mamita, cuando te veo, no me mareo ni me voy pa' atrás. Pero es que estás como pa, pa, pa. Ya sabes, chula, cuando te miren, si tienes novio, pues que te cuide.
Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa'l gangster. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa' darle. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa'l gangster. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa' darle.
Tengo una catedral y varias capillitas. El requisito es que estén bonitas. Se aceptan güeras y morenitas, trigueñas altas y chaparritas. Huercas traje para la fiesta, un ritmo para agasajarse, dense la media vuelta. Que no les dé vergüenza pegarse de reversa. Inviten a los machos pa' que paguen la cerveza. Olor cereza, trae buena suerte, vuelvan pa' la mesa, dejen los calientes. Que en este ambiente la que se cotiza, se va de blanco a escuchar la misa.
Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa'l gangster. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa' darle. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa'l gangster. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está
no seas malita y deja invito a mis amitas. Chiquita rica, tú eres la buena y el babo puede con varias nenas. Loca, sabes que me provocas cuando con tu boca le das besos a otra. Sabes que me prendo como si fuera incendio, me pongo más caliente que el chamuco en el infierno. Ay, mamita, no sé por qué me vuelvo loco con dos o tres. Será tal vez que es lo que me gusta y a mi casa no entran las que se asustan. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa'l gangster. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa' darle. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa'l gangster. Mami, mueve el cucu, que tu cucu está como pa' darle.
Who knows what kind of music that was. You are tuned to the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz. Today is July 4th, if you're listening to us on the day. I'm Robert Norris. This is Bathrobes Piers Broadsides. And I'll be with you for 2 hours. Special phone-in guest on the Egyptian coup, Steve Argue, will be calling in at 7 or thereabouts to talk about it from his Marxist perspective. I'll be giving you a couple of my thoughts. And next week, hopefully, we'll have Dennis Edler, anthropologist, activist, and bon vivant, will be calling in or in the studio, I'm not sure which, probably talking about China. So we got some stuff coming up, a lot of interviews, and I want to catch up with them, plus a lot of stuff from today's 10 to 12 protest at the corner of Water and Ocean Streets, which is a traditional 4th of July activity in Santa Cruz. And, of course, I suppose it's also traditional that the police will do their spot harassment stuff and that the organizers of the protest will be their spot kind of control stuff, trying to, criticize, suppress somewhat dissident factions who are not exactly in line with their script. But all in all, lots of good signs. 40 or 50 people more, perhaps, at the height. And, for a once-every-year kind of protest for 2 hours, it's very nice. Everybody can then go home and watch things deteriorate further. Anyway, let's listen to a little Peggy Seeger. A new album for her is called Live, new to me anyway. And then I'll be back, and we'll be going through some interviews, eventually to end up at the events of this morning, and interviews from this morning about ongoing issues that probably all of you listeners know all too well already, but nonetheless, we'll be talking about them and listening to people talking about them.
He'd give the world for a job, 'cause the job's his world. The earth's his oyster, he's the pearl. Gives him something to do, money in hand, without a job. A man's not a man, a man needs a job. Man on a mountain, tearing that mountain down. Man in a forest, building another town. The world is his, wherever he goes, to do what he wants with, 'cause the world owes every man a job. What would he give for a job? his heart and his lungs, mutilate his body, father mutant sons, silicon and lint, asbestos and coal. The world wants life, man wants control, but he'd give up life for a job. Ivory hunter, nuclear engineer, rainforest logger, arms trader, financier, makers of junk food, acid rain, CFCs, and all those things that bring death and disease. Made to waste, made without heed, all those things that nobody needs. So is a job just a job? He'd give the world for a job. He's running wild, blindfold, brainwashed, self-centered, Pavlov's child. Turn forest to desert, turn heaven to hell, turn home into nothing. Will we live to tell how we gave the world for a job? The whole world for a job. We gave the world for a job.
And that was Peggy Seeger, as mentioned before, from her album Live. And the name of that sucker is For a Job, sounds like to me. Yep, that's what the story is. So, welcome to the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org. We're hoping, I'm not hoping actually, I'm assuming that we haven't got a transmitter site and nothing in the near future. So, we are off the air, and we will stay off the air until someone comes forward to, or we find, through our own diligent work and searching, a place where we can set up our low-power transmitter, which nonetheless puts out a signal sufficient to hear in most of Santa Cruz and some of the surrounding areas. So help us if you can. Get in touch with us by sending an email to freakradio.org. If you have any suggestions, you know anybody who has a tall tree on their property, this is kind of a repeated plea I make, and I guess other broadcasters probably make as well, but it's important. Most people do not have computer access in the same way that they have, say, car radio access, and particularly homeless people who listen to this show. And I want to thank those who are listening and encourage you to call in if you have any reports on the 4th of July. It's a particularly difficult day for some folks because there are triple fine zones set up all over the city by the police, special curfew zones in the beaches, additional police activity going on in different places. And, again, it's part of the public hysteria masquerading. It's public security masquerading, and it's really public hysteria, as I've said before, about a lot of the recent initiatives by the city council, the Santa Cruz City Council, and by their allied groups and the pressure groups that are really kind of, I don't want to say the power behind the city council, because the power is, as always, the staff, the city manager, city attorney, head of the Parks and Rec, folks that are essentially hardbound and conservative to the point of being reactionary around basic human rights for poor people and class issues in Santa Cruz. Anyway, I'm going to begin by just noticing what's coming up in the next few days. I put out an email about this to Huffsters, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom folks. You can get the Huff email by going to the Huff list, I should say, the Huff website, and clicking on the appropriate send me the Huff email link. The Huff website is Huff, H-U-F-F, Santa Cruz, all one word, Huff Santa Cruz, all small letters, .org. And just go there, send us an email, and we'll put you on the list. When I put out emails, which are usually stories about homeless struggles or attacks on the homeless and police abuse on occasion, local political abuse, I've been adding recently a thing called Notes from Norse, or Note from Norse, which I kind of try to link up what I think is relevant in on the broader Santa Cruz scene in the homeless civil rights struggle with the particular article in question. And so I may go through some of those notes today, but the best way to get those notes is either to get the Huff email or to go to the Huff website. And I think, although it's a bit delayed because we haven't got the most effective or efficient delivery system here, but the Huff website is getting updated, and I want to thank those who are doing that. Tip of the hat to Swami and Valerie, who are working hard on that issue, keeping things a little more current, which I think is really important. What's coming up? Well, there, of course, was yesterday, there was the flag-burning activity that Brent Adams has traditionally been connected with in the past. I don't know. He's trying to keep, I think, a lower, more respectable profile because of his interest in connecting and making ties with more conservative people to support a sanctuary campground for homeless people, which is a laudable aim, one that I think, as I've said before, trying to establish dialogue and connection with groups that are really hostile to this or, you know, profoundly indifferent to it, and also just hostile to homeless people generally, is a waste of time, in my view, before you actually have established power, either among the homeless, among homeless rights groups and other groups, in other cities, among attorneys, among other groups that have not been informed about homeless issues but understand the basic things like the need of vets to have a legal place to sleep at night if they're outside, and families with children to have a legal place to sleep. And those two groups make up a majority of the homeless population in this country, is my understanding, although I don't have the exact figures here with me. Was, I believe, in a flag burning on the one of the Seabright beaches last night, but I haven't gotten a report. So if anybody has any thoughts on that or has any reports on that, please do call in. I may call Brent to see if I can get an update on that. He's given updates in the past because it's been a kind of an annual ceremony. He doesn't regard it as a denunciation of U.S. foreign policy, but rather as an assertion of the wonderful U.S. First Amendment, which allows people to burn the national symbol as long as they don't take any really effective action to end the national oppression. I, of course, as you can hear, don't view this with such great praise, although I'm glad that people cannot or aren't generally getting arrested pro forma for burning the flag. It has been happening. I've burned a flag in the past some years ago. I've got nothing against burning a flag, but my usual point about burning a flag is it is not so much an assertion of First Amendment activity as an assertion of solidarity with the oppressed people in the world who don't like American occupation across the face of the globe. And that is something that I think is the true symbol. And when you kind of try to reduce it to, oh, see, we're how free we are, we can burn a flag, as though that's the issue, and you denude it of its content, it's seems to miss the point. But, hey, First Amendment is a good thing, too. I say right on. And I think what I'm going to do, actually, is give Brent a call and see if he can give us any updates on what's happened. Today we had a protest, as I think I mentioned, between 10 and 12 at Ocean and Water Street, which I'll be playing some audio from. Then tomorrow there's going to be a benefit for Santa Cruz Sanctuary Camp and the Santa Cruz 11. The focus in the most recent propaganda or flyers about this event has been about the Sanctuary Camp, but I understand it's for both. And that's going to be at 535 Spring Street. Encourage you to donate, but no one's going to be turned away. That's from 2 to 5 tomorrow, and it may go on into the evening for those of you who are have jobs during the day and can't come during the 2 to 5 hours. Come later if you can. 535 Spring Street in Santa Cruz. Benefit for Sanctuary Camp, which is, again, the attempt to establish protected, safe, alternative to sleeping, crapping, and hiding in the bushes, which is, you know, it seems to me the most obvious thing for a civilized community, but apparently not for Santa Cruz or various other gentry-dominated, money-dominated communities up and down the coast. On Saturday, there's going to be a rally at 7:30 for rights, followed by a candlelight vigil. That's at the town clock. It's going to be, on behalf of the Turkish people or supporting their struggles, probably the Brazilian people, the Egyptian people, maybe even the American people, who knows. But it's an attempt to essentially say we support those rising up to regain their rights in the countries that have done this. And maybe there'll be some, I heard there was talk of being some video shown, but I don't know if that's actually going to happen. I haven't heard more about that. If you want more information, you can also come to the Occupy Santa Cruz meeting, which happens about 5 or 5:30 on Saturday, regularly at the post office, after you chow down with Food Not Bombs at 4 o'clock, also at the post office on Saturday. Then on Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Resource Center for Nonviolence on Ocean Street, there's going to be an End Torture in California Prisons rally. It starts at 2, our education session, I should say. I think it's a seminar, a series of forums. The actual specifics here are it's a movement against solitary confinement. It's led by prisoners inside. And, again, reading from the Santa Cruz Indie Media announcement, the purpose of this afternoon event is to educate the community about California's security housing unit, prisons, and the struggle prisoners have waged to end their torturous conditions. Hear about life inside California Supermax prisons and why prisoners are resuming their hunger strike on July 8th, which I guess would be the next day, Monday the 8th. Short films, screening, and discussion. Get informed about the July 13th mobilization to Corcoran State Prison and sign up to join the protest via carpool or caravan. Sign making for July 13th. So if you can't physically be there, Sean Barras and company will bring your message. And there's a background on the hunger strike as well if you go to, probably go to the Sean Barras website, capital S-I-N, capital B-A-R-R-A-S, Sean Barras, without bars, I believe, is what it means. And again, that's 2 to 5, Sunday, July 7th, Resource Center for Nonviolence, 612 Ocean Street in Santa Cruz. Check it out, and you can find that online if you want to download the poster. So that stuff coming up. I'm going to replay now the conversation I had with Razor Ray, because I think he's got some interesting and instructive things to say. His approach is not mine. I use a different approach when dealing with police officers on the street who are harassing people, masquerading under color of law, of course. Nonetheless, he presents, I think, a perspective that is worth considering for those who are trying to somehow either regain their rights, maintain their rights, or advise others as to how to proceed in that situation. This was a conversation he and I had at the Red Church, and I believe it was a couple weeks ago. Let's listen to it again. I played it last Sunday, I guess it was, when I had my usual earlier show and longer show. 9:30 to 1 is the time if you want to tune in for that show. And let's hear some suggestions on how you deal with a police officer who comes up and is harassing you or making you uncomfortable. What should you do? Here's some suggestions and some other comments as well. If you want to call in with your own thoughts on this, do give a call. 427-3772 is the call-in number.
Or police conduct as usual downtown on Pacific Avenue is to, quote, give them shit back?
Well, what they're attempting to do is dissuade people from hanging out. Just by the very presence of, and the security guards and all that, that is 90% of what they do. The thing is, they're looking for victims. They're looking for people that are just going to comply. It makes their job easy. They can get on to whatever they're going to do next really quickly. And if you give them a ration of shit, they may not like... And I'm talking about legal shit. You know, don't threaten or just say...
Drop your pants and go poo-poo.
Am I being detained or am I free to go now? Or if you feel like staying, perhaps, it says, why are you hanging around me? Are you stalking me? And engage them on why they're right in front of you. Too many people basically use it as an excuse to, like, they'll try to conversationalize them. Or, actually, I've seen this with the downtown hosts and the security guards. They think if they suck up to them, that it actually benefits them at all, and they are deluded.
Speaking of our friends, the police over there.
They're everywhere. But if you'll notice, the semantics all the way around, just like the thing about the homeless, look what they just did to Edward Snowden. They claim he's in flight and he hasn't been captured. Interpol does not have him on their list. He's not wanted for anything. They play fast and loose. It happens from above to below. They talk about homeless people.
And this, of course, was before Snowden was indicted in the U.S. This was like 2 weeks ago this particular conversation happened, or maybe even a little more.
When blocks and groups of people as this one monolithic thing where everybody's an automaton, like QB workers. But in reality, there's a whole bunch of different people out here. And I think a smart cop essentially figures out after a while, unless they're too stupid to live, that they're dealing with individuals. And admittedly, there's a bunch of really dense ones out there, too, and I don't want to go into it. And, big shout-out to Officer Winston, who gave me a ticket one night and informed me that he knew my handle on Indy Bay. Talk about terrorism. I told him I didn't care. Anybody that talks to me for 5 minutes on the street hears the same thing that I write about in my blog. I'm not scared of them. Why should I be?
Now, tonight, the ACLU is meeting at the fourth Monday of every month. They meet at 7 o'clock at the Loudoun Nelson Center. Now, about a year ago, you brought some concerns to the ACLU.
I just talked with Bob Tarrant about it sometime in July.
What were those concerns?
Karen is Bob Tarrant, a longtime attorney on a number of liberal causes, particularly good, I understand, on disability claims. And he's, however, as all the other members of the board of the ACLU have been, even though some of them are very liberal in other ways, that none of them have taken the initiative to require, request, or even put before the ACLU such so simple a thing as a statement opposing the sleeping ban, opposing the sweeps against the homeless, opposing the theft of homeless property, things that ACLUs throughout the state have done. We have an ACLU that is maintaining a kind of toxic silence on these issues. And as I said before, we need, of course, is a different kind of group. I have to also add, we don't have a National Lawyers Guild here, although a couple of National Lawyers Guild people did volunteer to help Occupy Santa Cruz when they were attacked by the deputies and the Santa Cruz police. Although the 75 River Street folks, I don't think they got National Lawyer Guild help. The so-called Santa Cruz 11, who are still facing trial, four of them, and for whom there will be, again, part of this benefit tomorrow at from 2 to 5 at 535 Spring Street is about them. So ACLU, I talk about it, but as I said before, I'm real ambivalent about even spending any time on it. So let's hear some more, and we'll get on to the next subject. 427-3772 is the call-in number here if you want to get in touch. It's around 7 o'clock. I expect to hear some report from Steve Argue on events in Egypt. Not that he's there, but he's keeping an eye on what's going on there and speaking out as well, or at least writing out.
A certain strong-arm tactic that was used on me one night for a camping ticket in regard to giving up a form of identification that I'm legally required not to give them as a form of identification. I informed the officer, and I don't want to get into too much detail, but I informed the officer at the time that if he was lying to me and he was making me commit a federal crime because he said it was due that...
What was Mr. Tarrant's approach? I understand he and you were having some sort of subcommittee to consider
this. It seems that the ACLU, due to the fact that the local ACLU, really, folks, and I remember what they did to the Japanese, and the California CLU doesn't exist anymore, and the ACLU is basically a fan club here. They don't have any resources. They don't want to push the San Francisco people, you know, the people at the regional office to give them resources or anything. But so what ends up happening is the big push here is a really limited amount of time that you're given to recover your property. And the police, knowing that really you can't wait 3 days or a week for your sleeping bag, you need your sleeping bag tonight. Book and release, not your stuff, right?
Were you becoming to demand this be changed at the ACLU meeting tonight?
No. No. This is going to happen between me and their homeless liaison, and I
do
still
have a homeless liaison.
Yeah, they do, Bob Tarrant. And
the ACLU.
And yeah, the ACLU. Oh, yeah. Not well. No, they probably have someone they call. That titles are so much better than raises. Anyway, I need to get back inside.
We've been talking with
Razor Ray.
Thank you, Razor Ray.
And we're moving on to another segment now.
So it's about 8:20 on June 27th, 2013. I'm on Pacific Avenue, following an officer past the Ohm Gallery. I've noticed he has spoken to an African-American guy up near Hoffman's, and then talked to another guy laid out material on the sidewalk. Apparently he encouraged him to leave, or he left shortly thereafter. I didn't catch most of that. He has passed by Glenda in her wheelchair, a couple of girls with hula hoops, so he's selectively going after some folks. I will just keep an eye on him and see what he's up to.
And I've been doing increasingly more of this cop watching, particularly since I'm beginning to start to use a video camera, which I'm still not very good at, and I'm still not very comfortable with the downloading, and I certainly don't yet know how to put together videos with titles the way some people like Brent Adams does. He does a great job with the Sanctuary video, and he's done some other videos that I've been impressed with. But I think capturing people on video, particularly police officers and security guards who are violating people's rights, just as a matter of kind of routine, almost mechanically, and expecting other people to bow down for that kind of stuff, is very educational for the community and important in ultimately prompting and sparking resistance, or at least deterrence in the absence of any resistance on a broad basis. So I encourage people to do that, and of course my current approach is simply to audio and play the audio, but I may get better and start videoing more frequently and more effectively, and hope others are out there doing the same. If you do any video, please give a call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Let me know, or come to the Huff meeting on Wednesday. We show up at the Sub Rosa 2, those of us the dwindling band of stalwarts who do show up. That's at 703 Pacific, is the Sub Rosa Cafe. And check in on us. You get free coffee, and we discuss these issues and also make plans, which sometimes actually result in people subsequently showing up. So, for example, this morning I showed up with signs and erasable chalk because there was a decision in San Diego where a jury refused to send someone to jail for 13 years for erasably chalking slogans about the Bank of America and the Occupy movements 2 years ago, but the city attorney insisted on prosecuting this guy, just as our city attorney has insisted on prosecuting Becky Johnson for writing slogans about sleep is not a crime along, not even on the sidewalk. In order to avoid that, she wrote it in the gutter where there's no law. No city ordinance. I've actually written things in the street where there is at least there wasn't an ordinance 10 years ago, and I don't think there is one currently. In order to, essentially for me, it's to assert the First Amendment and also to assert freedom from the kind of, I think, the fog of fear that it isn't just something that came when the police crushed Occupy or the previous year's Peace Camp 2010, but it's an ongoing phenomenon that is used to stop the community from reasserting kind of the basic rights that would eventually get people together, I think, to overthrow the economic slavery that I think most people are suffering under, the 99 versus 1% stuff, which was such a slogan a year or two ago, and it's really more than a slogan, it's a reality, and the huge disproportionate expenditure on military and locally on police, the demonization of poor people as criminals, our African Americans and other minorities as criminals. It is pretty sick shit, and it's apparently a part of the whole way of maintaining the economic craziness that's going on, the privileges for the few and ongoing, what they used to call wage slavery for the many. Let's hear some more from me walking around doing some cop watching. Often you don't see a lot because police officers can be very mobile. They can jump in their cars, stop wherever they want, double park, zip around to somewhere else. If you're out there cop watching, I suggest you check also security guards who are more on foot. Although ICE officer Warren downtown training a new officer, I think that's what he was doing yesterday or the day before. He advised me he will no longer be a part of the team after September. He's moving to another another part of the city to spread the good news or whatever. Warren is an amiable but particularly toxic kind of police officer who I've gotten continuing reports of harassing homeless people for such crimes as sitting next to a closed, vacant building. It's nasty, nasty stuff. And people can say they're just doing their jobs, but if those are their jobs, they deserve to be held up to condemnation and ridicule. And that's what they should be. And that's what I try to do when I see police officers engaging in this kind of abusive behavior against people's human rights. I try to point it out and also to document it, and I encourage everyone else to do the same. Here's more of that process in operation, though this is really the kind of the quieter side of that.
And there's a guitarist on the street playing as the officer passes by a few more groups, seems to be heading for a few, and notice me videoing. Oh, right, let's
just... And we'll hear some music in a moment, but the reason I actually stopped this this evening, I think it was a couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago, I drove down Pacific Avenue, and I noticed a police officer engaging an African-American guy next to Hoffman's who had some kind of display on the sidewalk. And, of course, there was no place to park, so I had to turn around and find a place to park. As I went down a second time looking for a place to park down Pacific Avenue, I saw him talking to another person, and it was another person of color, I'm not sure, on the other side of the street who had a display out. Could have been an ordinary Caucasian guy. And by the time I was able to hit the streets and did find a place to park, both those two individuals were gone, and the officer was continuing on his merry way. And I could have been wrong. It might have been he had nothing abusive to say to those people. In that regard, destroying people's right to display their art or their merchandise, if they're in the kind of poverty that has them doing that, as a form of abuse of them, of really a profound and sadistic sort, even if it's not intended, even if it's covered by the just following the law, ma'am, just following the law, where the laws are sadistic and the officers are enforcing the law, they become the sadists. Sorry. So that's what that was about.
Booth and poems from the Bellatristic prose for the sake of art, humanity, and or your spare change. And by the open guitar case are two backpacks and a Lone Star beer cap. Not a kitty cat, stuffed kitty cat. Talking with
Sonia Button.
And Sonia, you've been strumming away here. How long you been out here tonight?
Just like 20 minutes.
This is the husky-voiced woman at the Kitty Kissin booth, as she called it, which wasn't really a booth, but was a that's a sign describing the kind of performance she's giving.
Well, looks like you've gotten at least a dollar in change there.
I put the change in there to make it look like there's...
Hook people.
Yeah, like a little bit. For the kitty, at least, right over there.
You have a... Wait, did that stuffed kitty have a name?
His name is Atlas, and he travels with me and my friend. We travel together.
And where are you...
We're about to part our ways, but yeah.
Where are you traveling? You mean you and Atlas, or you and your friend?
He comes with us, but me and my friend...
So, where are you coming from?
We came from Big Sur a couple days ago. Actually, yesterday. Pretty late at night.
And before that?
We started our travels with this group of people that I'm with in Texas. But I'm from all over.
Just a Roman woman?
Yes, I am.
Any impressions of Santa Cruz?
Everyone's really nice here. Everyone's really nice. Especially compared to Arizona.
Tell me about Arizona.
Arizona, people were just incredibly unfriendly there. Incredibly unfriendly. And, like, this morning we were hungry, and we walked out, and there was food on people's porches that just said free on it. Like,
in Santa Cruz?
Vegetables, yeah. Vegetables and things like that. And it was a nice, warm welcoming.
Now, are you suffering, or have you suffered any racial discrimination? You look dark of hue.
Yeah, I'm Puerto Rican. No one said anything yet.
And have you felt anything yet?
No, not in a racial sense.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
But why no songs in Spanish?
I do have some songs in Spanish.
Any songs about the streets, either in English or in Spanish?
About the streets. I have one about traveling that's in English and Spanish.
Okay.
About wanting to travel and not being able to do it at the moment and having that itch in your feet.
You want to sing a little of that?
Yeah, sure.
Some music, you two.
I'll play a Neil Young song.
What about your own composition?
I don't have any done.
Well, get to it. All right, go ahead. with Catman, but Catman has a new dog, and the dog's name is?
That's Buster Posey, little Buster Posey.
And that dog came from?
San Francisco, Giants Ballpark, AT&T Park.
And how did that happen?
Well, police officers came by, and I guess they thought I should have the dog, and they liked me a lot, so they told me, hey, can you take this dog out down the way? I says, yeah, okay, sure.
The dog had her shots.
Well, the boy dog, I took it to Morrissey about, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and got its first shots. I got to go back on the 7th, get the other shots. And I left my bike and everything back there. They wanted me to walk away, so I thought they had something going on.
And though I may describe it later, just let me say that Catman is the guy you may occasionally remember if you're on downtown Pacific Avenue, who kind of wheels around in a shopping cart-like device. I think it also is sort of like a cross between a bike and a shopping cart, which in the past has had this very sort of lovable kitty kind of as essentially a money-making tool. And I don't know if that, I know that dogs have been prohibited as panhandling partners in downtown Santa Cruz, all to protect the poor dogs, you see, from being abused and exploited as panhandling addenda or whatever, or accoutrements. Just as the new barring of panhandlers from the medians that's going to go into effect on July 11th is an attempt to protect both the public and those individuals who are panhandling from potential accidents. You see, it's all for the protection. Of course, if you don't catch the sarcasm in my voice, listen to this again, and maybe you'll hear it more clearly.
I wanted a dog bad. I just went ahead and did it, man. And it turned out that they were actually just coming up to me to give me this dog. That I don't know how they got it. I don't really care.
And this happened after the death of your cat.
Yeah. It was amazing.
You are, of course, famous for you and your putty.
That was Baby.
And how long a life did Baby live?
Well, she was an old kitty. She probably was about 20 years old.
And how long has she been with you?
Oh, about 7 years.
And you and she traveled many miles together on the streets?
Oh, no, I've taken her on bus and train. I've taken her to Oregon. I've taken her all kinds of
places. Like to travel? I mean, cats don't often like
this. Yeah, she loved anywhere with me. And she was real quiet as a mouse, and all the conductors on the cow train knew I had her, and they always checked to make sure my cat was okay.
And is your dog attracting more attention than the cat or less?
Different types of folks. Different types of folks. Cat people and dog people are different types of folks.
And what kind of differences do you notice?
I really don't know. Basically, I assume that the people that are tripping on the dog don't really care about the cats, and it's vice versa.
Although you might have some dogs and cats people.
Well, I guess I've never had a cat and dog at the same time, so I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just assume that.
Looks like your puppy is trying to hide under the covers there. Maybe a little chilly.
Getting a little cozy. No, we're raising the dog like a man's dog and not a woman's dog.
And what's the difference?
It's not a kid's dog.
And then how is that different?
In other words, it has to put up with the weather.
So it's outside.
There's no indoor thing. I'm a cowboy. I'm outdoors on purpose.
Now, do you sleep outside?
Of course I do.
Illegally?
Well, it all depends on how you look at it.
I see.
I don't go sleep in somebody's neighborhood. No. I'm way up on Highway 1 on Caltrain State property. As a matter of fact, yesterday I had a problem with somebody down there. I went down to walk my dog on that property next to the Total Fitness little building they got down there for the physical fitness thing. And some guy came out of nowhere with a knife and tried to attack me. And I did my darndest to calm him down a little bit, you know, just enough for me to get out of there. And I got out of there. And, you know, there's nothing I could do about it because I'm out there and without no cell phone. If I had cell phone, I would have called the local law immediately, and they would have been on there immediately.
Now, are you normally cell phone accessible?
No, I don't carry a cell phone. But I don't expect anything like that to happen.
And does it happen?
I've been here for 33 years.
Doesn't happen much.
No.
What do you think was the motivation of Mr. Knife Guy?
I don't know, but he stole my trike, sold it to a friend of mine. It was broke. The gears were broke. It was useless. I ended up getting it from my friend. I gave it back to my friend. I says, here, you can have it. They didn't get my handlebars. I got my handlebars. But the trike, I rode 6 times up and back and forth the city. I walked 3 times up to the mountain, up to Castle Rock. You know,
it was a famous kiddie machine.
Yeah, the big old 3-wheel bicycle, you know.
I think so, although my recollection is vague.
Yeah.
Any final words for your fans or for those who remember your kitty cat?
Well, shit. They all loved my cat like it was theirs.
It was a cute cat. You know, I don't remember what it looked like, but I remember it was cute in its position.
Loving something and taking care of something are 2 different things. You know what I mean? I mean, a lot of folks love animals, but when it really comes down to it, they don't have 24 hours a day available for the animal. And for the animal to be totally developed, it needs 24-hour attention for its all its life. That's the bottom line.
Well, this pooch looks happy with the attention it's getting.
It takes at least a half a year to get that 24-hour attention for the dog to act like a 5-year-old dog when it's only 6 months old.
Like your doggy is trying to make an escape.
And the reason. I know. It's cool. And the reason that your dogs don't progress is because
and
they
what's
don't
happening here is we're getting the doggy advice as the
they use their
a lot of kids
for,
are petting the little puppy in
reasons, whatever,
the shopping cart with Catman.
Sometimes
or should we call him Dogman?
Strung out in some strange way, and they need the dog for comfort or something like that. But it's never take care of the dog.
We're going to be back
it's
to make sure that
selfish
you. You have taken care of your pooch.
Everybody knows that I don't get nothing from my animals.
Here, here.
And I put everything into my animals. All my love goes to
I don't
animals.
Dispute it. We've been talking. Again, you are?
Thomas Wolfe.
Thank you, Thomas.
You're welcome.
Testing, testing. So it is July 4th, 2013. It's about 5 after 10. I'm here at the approaching the corner of Water and Ocean Streets, and got about a dozen people here now. Holding up signs on the 4th of July, moderate traffic, moderate weather. The biggest sign says, down with the drones, stop killing innocent people. And there's a table here set up by Peace and Freedom folks. Double the minimum wage. Hey, how's it going? No more war. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Oh, good, good.
Unless, of course, it's just class war.
Even that, I'm not sure about these days.
Okay.
Even that.
I see there. Bradley Manning, I see he's getting billing here.
Yeah, I had my pink, but it didn't work.
Your t-shirt is Year of the Dragon 2000. It's a lot of date, isn't it? Here, let's go.
It's red, isn't it?
It is red.
It works.
All right. For our listeners, what's your name?
Marion Vitito.
And Marion, how many years have you been here on the 4th of July holding up signs?
Many, many. Probably we got here in 95, so I'd say probably 97 on.
So every year you show up.
We show up.
And there's still wars. Isn't this sort of an idiotic process? You keep trying and it doesn't stop.
I do the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best I can. But we sure let our voice be heard whenever we can.
It's interesting. This is the kind of criticism that I often get from some critics, most recently from Brent Adams, that Huff has been doing what it's been doing for years and we still haven't ended the sleeping ban. And it's true, it's a constant push and a push back, and for us who are fighting for civil rights for homeless people, we've actually caused, I think, significant changes and stopped toxic changes in the other direction, but it's a much longer process, I think, and it depends when the people themselves, who are the oppressed group, decide they've had enough. And that's, one can never tell when that particular point is reached.
To whomever we think it should be heard.
Now, is there anything that local politicians can do to assist you if they wanted to? Not that they ever would, of course.
I'm not going to answer that, Robert, just because I'm mostly here.
Because the motorcycle is drowning you out, probably.
Because mostly I'm here to meditate. When I come on these kinds of vigils, I really quiet myself and reflect upon what the meaning of all of that is for me. Personally.
When you come up with an answer, I want you to share that with us.
I would be glad to.
Thank you. And we've been talking with?
Marion.
Thank you, Marion.
And, of course, you know, the fact, I tried to make it local, like what kind of actions locally can politicians do to actually have some kind of impact on the new kingdom of the drones that we are in, the kingdom of the surveillance, kingdom of war, a kingdom of Guantanamo torture. And of course, the not only does the city council maintain an absolute silence on all these issues, but the individuals who should be pressuring them and responding to this, like Marion here and the folks of this protest, not one sign other than the homeless signs I brought along. And even they are more about the general issues, although the general issues are specific to Santa Cruz in terms of the sleeping ban and the harassment of the homeless, mentions the particular abusive behavior or the needs of to change, make changes locally that might have some impact, disinvesting in war enterprises, disinvesting in large corporations and banks, disinvesting in that kind of profiteering, which, you know, can be done locally. And this is because that the same people who are holding up these signs are sort of pals with some of the people in the power structure, or they don't want to offend them. And you see this later because, I don't know. I mean, that's the conclusion I draw, or I wonder if that isn't the case. Probably there's going to be a break in this discussion because, as I said, Steve Argue is intending to call in at 7. He's a longtime activist for homeless civil rights and for broader labor struggles and for revolution. He wants to see revolutionary change himself. He and I have in the past been targeted by the police for essentially a First Amendment act, supposedly First Amendment protected activity. And indeed, as you're going to hear earlier today, the police tried to stop me and others from holding up anti-war signs, or in my case, stop harassing the homeless and the sleeping ban signs on the median in the center of Ocean Street, where there was no danger. Actually, people were greeting us with friendly honks, and actually we're having occasional exchanges of conversation with some of the vehicles as they waited for the lights to change. It was a form of education, an obvious First Amendment expression. This police officer tried to stop us, and instead of being protective, the people running the protest, Mike and Maureen Smith and some of their supporters, seemed to be hostile to us because they were afraid we were offending the police, which they don't want to do. And that, of course, is a very dangerous position, I think, and one that's very typical of some of the activists in Santa Cruz. When I initially approached, I was told that by Maureen, she didn't want my sign, some of which talked about stop the harassment of the homeless in Santa Cruz and the sleeping ban, war on poverty, not the poor. She had her own peace and freedom signs that she wanted set up. And Maureen's a good activist, don't get me wrong. I don't agree with some of the things she does, and you'll hear me criticizing her here for this. But it's, I think, a problem that is not just limited to her. There is this tendency to try to exclude more radical people, although we aren't terribly radical. I wish we were more so. And a couple of us did go out on the median and held up signs I was trying to point out to the group that on July 11th, it will be illegal to hold up signs anywhere in Santa Cruz on any median or roundabout of any kind in order to eliminate the menace of the homeless panhandler. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They're saying it's because there's a dangerous traffic problem, though, of course, they can't document that at all. And it's clearly all about panhandling. Even the two we go along with this homeless stuff and love our staff, members of the city council, who I don't have much respect for generally, Don Lane and Micah Posner in terms of their positions. We're quite candid about that on this one occasion when this issue came up at city council about a month and a half ago and was passed. So I'm going to pause now and turn instead to Egypt, mainly because in Egypt there is mass response that is actually changing things. And I keep wondering if that can't happen somewhere here in the United States. I guess it's unlikely to happen in Santa Cruz, though. You never know where, justice or, finally a vindicative, vindicating resistance is going to break out. But there was a coup yesterday in Egypt after masses of people, millions of people, certainly hundreds of thousands, probably millions, came out on the streets demanding, after 22 had allegedly signed a petition demanding that Prime Minister Morsi resign, or was it President Morsi? Anyway, Morsi, the head of the government, and the military then opportunistically intervene and demand that he resign, and they got him to resign they didn't get him to resign. They overthrew him in a coup. Not my favorite guy. He hasn't done anything to prosecute the old Mubarak regime people who, or the military for that matter, who tortured and killed people over the years and over the last year or two as well. And that is certainly relevant. But I'm trying to come to an understanding of what's going on there, and I'm going to talk to Steve Argue about that when he calls in shortly. I've been following a lot of it on the Guardian website, which... The Guardian has done a lot of, sort of, along with Al Jazeera, minute-to-minute following of the issue. So you want to get, live coverage. I don't know if they're still doing live coverage. Their latest story here is Barack Obama urges Egypt to swiftly restore civilian government, which is, it's kind of interesting. The U.S. is not supposed to fund any government that is overthrown by the military, any democratically elected government. And Morsi's government was democratically elected. Some say it was a small percentage of the electorate that really elected him, considering, and was there, but there was no real objection to the elections as they happen in terms of their being rigged or fixed. And that's been one of the main points that Morsi and his supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood have claimed, that they are... the electoral process has given them power, and why can't they exercise it until the next election? And the answer, I guess, of the millions of people in the streets are the country is in economic morass. You've engaged in certain constitutional shortcuts and authoritarian approaches, which certainly don't meet with the community's approval. There's concern that they're traditionally secular authorities in Egypt are being... I don't want to say Islamicized, but maybe that is the proper phrase for using it, although that, to me, smacks more of the paranoia that you see, a kind of worldwide as a justification for the war on terror. I want to come to, the democratic process doesn't necessarily just mean elections. It has to do with whether the institutional structure that is oppressing, the 99% or the 90% of the country is dismantled and a real democratic process ensues where people can earn a living, where people can live in a community and get medical care and get their needs met, where you have a country which is not just a sort of a cash register for foreign corporations or for the military and its businesses, which is what Egypt very specifically has been under Mubarak and has still been under first the military, which ran it for a year after the revolution of a couple years ago, and then under Morsi. Although Morsi did attempt to dismantle some of the administrative process of the old regime, which is still really there, deeply entrenched. And that's a real issue, and I think one that Steve Argue in his most recent broadside on that, I think, talks about with some significant... Well, it resonated with me. Interestingly enough, as I said, you've got this phony baloney Obama guy talking about he's going to use the threat of withdrawing $1.3 billion in U.S. aid to the Egyptian military, which has been a long-time sort of pro-Israeli government aid stuff that they've been U.S. governments have been giving to Egypt over the years, even as they oppress their own people. When in fact, there is a, as I've read in a prior story, a constitutional requirement, or I should say a legislative requirement, that there be no, if there's a coup, that the military aid immediately be stopped. So his claim that he's going to use it as a threat is actually a way of disobeying or ignoring the legislative process, the legislative law which was passed here. But, of course, that's nothing new since he has no problem with the kinds of scandalous, abusive, unthinkable kinds of surveillance that has been going on and has been shown to be going on. And then instead of dealing with the issue, he's, you know, bringing down foreign planes and making them stop so that they can be searched for this evil whistleblower, Edward Snowden, continuing to torture people in Guantanamo, continuing to, kill innocents with drones. I mean, I don't, it's a lengthy litany of the kinds of ongoing institutional and stepped up abuses that Führer Obama has been doing. But again, the focus coming up shortly, assuming that I get a call from Steve Argue, is going to be on Egypt. The main thing I noticed about the recent takeover in Egypt, and I haven't gotten any homeless reports from the Egyptians, although, at least they're allowed to sleep out at night in Tahrir Square while and do protests. You're not allowed to do that here in Santa Cruz. You get ticketed or arrested or harassed. That's what people found. The most recent protest was the Visible Sleepers protest at the post office way back in April when first the police tried to ticket them for sleeping, which is illegal in Santa Cruz after 11 o'clock at night. And they found that, they'd already signed up for the homeless lack of shelter services, or the homeless service center, as it's called. And once you do that, you're supposed to put on a list that would have tickets for sleeping, specifically after 11 o'clock at night, normally a crime, dismissed. So police then went to do other things, like to arrest them for, or I should say hassle them. There were no actual arrests. Give them tickets for blocking the sidewalk when the sidewalk was 80 feet wide at that point. That's in the large, huge open space area across from the town clock next to the, sort of next to the post office downtown in Santa Cruz. So, you can sleep out in Egypt, but don't try it in Santa Cruz. Although, of course, when masses of people come together, the rules change. Because that is really the democratic process, when people get engaged and involved. And it can be an unfortunate one, too, when people get involved to start destroying people's rights, like lynchings, like Take Back Santa Cruz, needle hysteria. That there can be activist movements of the right that are frightening to me and I feel abusive to the community. But nonetheless, they are a part of a surge from the community, which has more democracy than the institutionalized, fossilized behavior of the city council, or over in Egypt of the Mubarak regime, or Masri and his feeble attempts to. He wasn't even trying to significantly dismantle it. In any case, we have a caller, and that, I suspect, may be our man calling in. Hey there, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert.
Hey, you are Steve Argue, if I'm not mistaken.
I am.
And, Steve, I've been talking about the latest Guardian story. Barack Obama urges Egypt to swiftly restore civilian government. Are you looking for a restoration of civilian government in Egypt?
Well, this is, I think the main question is, or one of the questions there is the fact that Barack Obama really, and the United States really has been the problem in Egypt for many decades, backing the Egyptian military. And everybody that the U.S. has backed has been a problem, has been repressive. The Morsi government, the military dictatorships, the Mubarak government. So, you know, in terms of, I don't look at it in terms of what the U.S. has, what role the U.S. has to tell other countries what to do, because every time the U.S. is involved, it's doing the wrong thing. And the U.S. is giving the military of Egypt $1.5 billion in military aid every year, and that's used to repress the people there. So,
sure,
the U.S. just needs to get out.
But I think what you know, the issue for a lot of people who are, some of us are confused. I've certainly been going back and forth on this, observing, you know, the massive millions demanding the overthrow of the Morsi regime, or actually isn't regime, it was elected in an electoral process which, though it involved a minority of the electorate, that was partially by the choice of the opposition parties. But it was elected, and there wasn't a lot of claim that it was a phony election. So there was actually
the people who led the movement that ousted Mubarak called for a boycott of the elections held by the military on the basis that the military was still killing people in the street who were protesting, and that it wasn't democratic, and that they had passed a law that made it so that, among other things, class-based parties, so socialist parties, were not allowed to participate in the elections. So, as I see it, it was a sham election, especially with the repression continuing to go on in the streets. And people saw Morsi breaking this boycott. A lot of people saw that, and they lost a lot of respect for that, for many other reasons, too.
And Morsi, of course, was the former prime minister or president, I'm not sure which. Who was
overthrown yesterday?
He was dumped yesterday by the military. But you're no fan of the military either, right?
No. I think the military used Morsi when he was convenient. And what do you do when 14 million people rise up and protest? You know, if you're going to try to continue to rule a country as a capitalist country with the same capitalist state, and you're the head of a military, it makes sense to get rid of a figurehead like Morsi when 14 million people are rising up, because there's a good chance your military is going to start dissolving into those protests, and you're going to lose your entire system.
And the same was true with Mubarak when he was facing a massive surge of people saying get out, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. And they held out a bit longer in that case, but there's nothing good about what the military's doing. I mean, what they're about, though. I mean, they've been very oppressive and have killed a lot of people and are very much part of the problem. So we shouldn't look to these people who've taken power as like being a really, really a revolution or people's power that's come to power. There's an element of people's power and the fact that they've forced this on the military, but really it's the same capitalist state, the same torturers, the same police that continue to have the power.
Well, I understand the military has an unusual role in Egypt, that they run all kinds of businesses all over there. They're actually big into the neoliberal, even before it became fashionable, they sort of have huge economic interests. And they're not just, you know, siphoning money off the top and, you know, getting weapons, contracts and that sort of thing, but they actually run a lot of private businesses. Is my understanding of the military, unlike the military in other countries.
They have a lot at stake in the capitalist system, and in a system that where 40% of the people make $2 or less per day.
Now, this most recent uprising kind of was sparked by a group whose name starts with T, but I don't remember how to pronounce it. Do you, the Talleyrand or Tamalund, or I'm not quite sure what the name of it is.
Well, the translation is Turnaround.
Turnaround. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I knew the Arabic. But they circulated a petition which they claimed 22 million people signed, including their names and their ID numbers, which I guess seems to me to be significant, asking that Morsi go, or that he hold, again, maybe it's, or that he hold new elections immediately. And of course, he refused to do that, and he got ousted by the military. Is the military, in your view, likely to repress, try to attempt to repress the revolution? This popular uprising? It's hard to tell how much of a revolution it is, because there's so many disparate elements involved. Old Mubarak people who want to keep the system, which is really still in place, the Mubarak system. Although it's been managed by first the military and then by Morsi, and now by the military again. And it also had all these other parties who were disputing for, you know, power. But it also had lots of people who were pissed at the economic situation there. What are these protests likely to continue from your many sources over in Egypt, Steve?
Well, I'm not claiming to have many sources in Egypt.
No, I know, I know.
It's hard to know. I'm not going to claim to know exactly what's going to happen. I would think that, in terms of the military standpoint, what they're thinking is they want to demobilize these protests by doing this. And I would think that they will have some success with that, but... they're not going to be. I mean, the unions have been growing in strength since the beginning of the uprisings in 2011, and I think that's going to continue. And I think discontent is going to continue because really the military and whoever they handpick to succeed them as the next civilian ruler, or handpick or have go through some election charade again. Is not going to deal with those questions adequately. They're not going to be able to because there's huge limitations to the capitalist system that they support and are doing all these things to continue. So I think the unionization is going to continue. I think a lot of the radicalization will continue and the protests just because of those material conditions and the fact that they won't be able to meet people's expectations and demands on many levels, but there's going to be some level of demobilization because a lot of people and because there's a lot of different perspectives of different people in the streets who are out there right now. There's even some extremist Islamists that are part of this that are even worse than Morsi and calling for Sharia law and who've decided to back the military's demands to be part of, you know, whatever comes next.
Yeah, I believe the Grand Mufti or whoever he is was sitting next to the generals in their announcement of a coup. And the guy who heads the new government, or is the figurehead for the government, he was appointed one day suddenly to the court, and then the next day he's he's the Führer of the country. Of course, the military is really ruling it. Again, I got his name. But do you have? It's nice to imagine in a kind of a romantic, warm way that there's this growing radicalization and unions are growing. Do you have any actual figures on that?
No, not at hand. I'd have to look up the sources I had were not as specific in terms of numbers.
Are you in touch with any of the socialist or communist parties over there? Or in terms of their reaction to this overthrow, are they happy or are they upset as you were? For example, the second sentence of your article on Indy Bay, which is Egypt, a coup is not a revolution. You stated the military took power in a coup that has taken Morsi into custody, put his senior advisors under house arrest, rounded up and jailed 38 leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood. I think it's now 400 people in the Muslim Brotherhood.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's what I was hearing.
Shut down. So that was early on that I wrote the.
Right, yeah. I mean, shut down the Muslim Brotherhood satellite TV station and two other Islamic stations, arrested reporters, suspended the Egyptian constitution. Not that the Egyptian constitution had much to... although there are some who said the Morsi constitution actually did restrict the military, and others said it didn't, and sent the military to attack Muslim Brotherhood protests in the streets. Are you defending the rights of the Muslim Brotherhood not to be arrested? What do you think?
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, mainly I just wanted to, you know, as reporting that, just to tell people what's really happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of the Muslim Brotherhood, I see them as repressive and as a problem, and I actually might even support repression of them to a certain degree in certain situations. But I don't trust the military because I see a lot of what they're doing is also things that will be and have been directed at the left and directed at the labor movement as well.
Have you been in touch with or read any of the... Has there been any reaction from leftists that you read or have been in touch with in Egypt on this coup?
I haven't actually been in touch with anybody in Egypt on the coup since today. Now, I've sent it to some people there, but I haven't gotten any feedback from them yet. I've gotten some feedback from people in the Middle East who've been very supportive of it, but nobody specifically in Egypt.
You did note in your story, which I recommend people take a look at on Santa Cruz Indie Media, appointed by the military as interim president, and this is this guy's name I couldn't remember, is Adli Mansour. Mansour served for 2 decades under the brutal dictatorship of Hosni Mubarak as the deputy chief justice of the Egyptian Supreme Constitutional Court. So this is the guy who is going to lead the country to a legitimacy by jailing the Muslim Brotherhood.
I think his role is more that of a figurehead or of a puppet of the military who's actually behind the scenes in control. But you know, it's, of course, they're going to pick someone who's very much part of the system that they're trying to stabilize.
So. So your general sense is that one of the calls by Turnaround, which is not the actual name they use, but it does start with a T, and I guess that's what it means, has been for immediate elections. And the military, according to a Guardian editorial yesterday, which was very vociferously disputed in their comments section. It's interesting to read through the Guardian's comments section of the London, the Guardian's back and forth on this, was that that they are delaying elections, that they've announced no date for elections. And I guess what they want to do first is change the Constitution. This was an issue back in November where I guess the reason Masri claimed he took... authoritarian power for a couple of weeks was because the old Mubarak judges were essentially throwing out the legislature activities and throwing roadblocks to constitutional approach, and so Masri rushed through the Constitution in a way, of course, it didn't please anybody except the Muslim Brotherhood, I imagine. And you know, that was that became the basis. Now they're calling for new elections, but what do you... And, you know, I understand you and I don't know what the hell's going on, and you haven't gotten any word back from your Egyptian contacts, if you have any. Do you have any? You have Egyptian. You have some people over there you're in communication with. Speak loud for the surveillance drones, by the way, so they can all hear you.
a little bit. I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to call people contacts or whatever, but I've been in touch with people a little bit.
Now, there's also, of course, mass uprisings in Brazil and Turkey, or there were. They seem to have subsided, or at least they're not in the media. Do you have any updates on either of those? Because, you know, a day after tomorrow, there's going to be a large solidarity, we hope, a large solidarity protest at 7:30 at the town clock supporting, I guess it was originally for the Turkish people, but it's probably going to be for the Egyptian people and the Brazilian people and who knows, maybe even the American people. You never can tell. So.
Oh, what was the question now?
What do you hear from Brazil and from Turkey?
I've actually haven't been following as close as I had been. Someone wrote me from Turkey today, I really don't want to comment on it because I haven't been. I was following the Turkish uprising very closely. I do know there's still a lot of protests going on, but I really haven't followed it very closely.
Okay, that's fair enough. You're not expected to be an expert on everything all the time, although it would be nice if you were, you know.
It's like I've actually been sent some things that I really needed to look at, but. You know.
Well, perhaps if we call you again on Thursday or, you know, you do come up with, you know, more of a sense of what's happening, you can get in touch. I just noticed that it's almost completely dropped out of the news. Turkey, you don't.
Yeah.
So, and that
yeah,
doesn't
that, mean. I mean, and that was seemed to be true when I was looking at it a couple of weeks ago after a lot of the crackdown and stuff, that it had dropped out. But there was still a lot of protest going on. And it just dropping out of the news, I don't think really means that much.
Right.
Necessarily, you know, dropping out of the corporate media.
You know, another thing that's been said that I've been reading about the Egyptian struggles that are going on and conflicts is that this attack, this claim that the Muslim Brotherhood is somehow trying to impose Sharia law or that wants to Islamize the country in a severe way is a way that has been really a line pushed by old line Mubarak people of the old dictator who essentially want to kind of rouse the, you know, terrorists are taking over, you know, Sharia law is happening, which I don't know. I'm not quite sure what, to some extent, the Muslim Brotherhood played some role in eventually standing up to overthrow Mubarak, right?
Yeah, eventually they came in on it. They've had a really spotty history, and they've been used many times.
Well, my point though was
against the labor movement and against the left.
Let me interrupt you for a moment. My point was that this may be an attempt to split. Because the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, they did get a huge number of votes, you know, or at least they claim to, and I'm not yet persuaded that was all phony, that there is a significant part of the country that supported them in power for one reason or another. They may not support them now for the same reason that Erdogan in Turkey likes to babble about how he got a huge vote, but that was then, now is now. There's a difference between those two
things change, especially when there's revolutionary uprisings.
But is this a split? I mean, is this an attempt to split the, you know, use the Muslim Brotherhood as, well, here in Santa Cruz we see the homeless, for example, being used as the scapegoats. Is the Muslim Brotherhood the menace, or is the military the menace, or is, you know, I'm looking for the menace, man. Show me the menace.
Okay, so as I see it, the menace is both the Muslim Brotherhood and the military, and it's capitalist repressive rule just taking two different, slightly different forms. That's, in a nutshell, how I see it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're really, the Muslim Brotherhood is not on the side of the working class and the people and the women and the minorities, like the 10% that's Christian in Egypt.
But they were on the side of at least reigning in the military to some extent, right? That was my impression from last year.
Well, no, I think they were actually responsible for a lot of the military's repression, especially like back in January and February, and I mean they're they're very much were part of it. And I think the military abandoned them when the opposition to the Muslim Brotherhood just became so strong.
What do you make of this sort of deification of the military that you see in the news reports, you know, people waving at the helicopters, we love the army, yada, yada, yada?
It's bad. I mean, I think that's it's part of what's being presented to people. But there's probably a degree of that because, you know, people have had a terrible time with Mubarak and a terrible time with Morsi, and the military is presenting itself as the savior. But really, it's the people who've driven these people out of power.
But the
military was part of the problem under those governments as well.
Yeah, I mean, the military ran the country for a year or more after Mubarak was driven out. And so why are the, I guess the people are just, are they clutching for any port in a storm? Are they looking, for any driftwood in a wreck? I mean, I've heard foreign sources criticize the military. You criticize the military. I criticize the military. I haven't heard a lot, and I've heard people from the Muslim Brotherhood criticize the military, at least. But I haven't heard, people from the streets criticizing the military. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that's the type of report we're going to get, too. They're going to skew what we hear of what kind of message we're going to be hearing from the streets and the American media. Of course, there's going to be some degree of that, but I think there's probably people aware that the military is the problem. In fact, I know there are. But part of the problem, too, is the lack of a real alternative leadership. So as long as that's the case, part of convincing people of another solution is having another solution.
And are you offering to fly to Cairo and take command?
Oh, of course not.
No. Well, you don't even speak Arabic, so heck with you, man. We've been talking with Steve Argue. Steve, I'm gonna kind of close this down in a few minutes. But if you want to summarize or add some things that haven't been said, please go ahead.
Oh, you kind of put me on the spot right there. I think we went over a lot. I think one of the main things is that we shouldn't support any continued U.S. military intervention in Egypt or anywhere else, and that the imperialist system of the United States really is hurting everybody everywhere, and that the U.S. needs to get out of the world. When is that protest you were talking about again?
Well, the protest is Saturday at 7:30 at the town clock. There's also a Sanctuary Santa Cruz 11 support event that's happening tomorrow, Friday, at 2 o'clock at 535 Spring Street, if you want to come to that. And appreciate you coming on the air. And please, if you get more information from any of your sources, let us know. Hey, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're tuned to the stream of free radio. It's freakradio.org for those in the know. And for those who aren't in the know, now you know, freakradio.org. Let's hear a little music, or actually it's a little kind of combination of music and chit-chat from Peggy Seeger.
Sometimes I think you have to laugh at the way things are between men and women. So let's have a laugh. How to impress a woman? Compliment her. Respect her. Honor her. Cuddle her. Kiss her. Caress her. Love her and stroke her. Tease her and comfort her. Protect her. Hug her and hold her. Spend money on her. Wine and dine her. Buy things for her. Listen to her. Care for her. Stand by her. Support her. Hold her. Go to the ends of the earth for her. How to impress a man. Show up naked and bring food.
Mm.
that deafening silence that you heard during the first part of that was men listening. Before you pour the wine out and turn the lights down low, are you thinking I don't notice that you're taking it slow? There's a little something I want you to know. You don't know how lucky you are. Now I'm not just any woman looking for any man, and I don't intend to change me to fit into your plan. I'm a hell of an angel, and you'd better give a damn. You don't know how lucky you are. Who'd follow you around, who wouldn't let you be your own man, and always kicking you around, put you on a pedestal, then knock you down. You don't know how lucky you are. Now, I'm a woman who knows how to use the door. I'm writing you a love song, it's one you can't ignore. Lie back and think of England, 'cause I've been here before. You don't know how lucky you are. Are you the kind of man who won't share the dirt, who can't clean out a toilet or sew a button on a shirt? Before I start the race, boy, I'm checking out the turf. You don't know how lucky you are. I'm not the kind of woman who cares to take a chance, who'd trade a lot of living for a little romance. Shall I go home now, or do you want to dance? Find out how lucky you are, 'cause I know how lucky you are.
And that was Peggy Seeger. From a couple more numbers from her. You don't know how lucky you are and how to impress a woman. So, well, perhaps one or two more from her before we sign off. And Uncle Dennis signs in. I'm not sure if he's here for July 4th, but I suspect he probably is. He would have let us know. Let's go back to the earlier July 4th protests at the Ocean and Water Street, where a lot of folks were hanging out, and I was running around with my tape recorder interviewing them.
So there's all kinds of names strung up here on the fence, and a man who is diligently putting them up or put them up and is now also putting up signs from the Peace and Freedom Party, Freedom from Corporate Rule, from ICE, from Nuclear Power and Weapons, from Monsanto, from the National Security State, Hunger, Torture, War. I've asked you this before, but this time my tape recorder actually works. What are the names?
And actually, these are signs, freedom from torture, freedom from Monsanto, and so forth, with the Peace and Freedom Party logo on them, all strung up along this fence along Ocean Street, where we were standing at the corner of Ocean and Water, holding up signs and waving at passing cars and getting lots of honks. Not initially, but certainly more so as the morning grew, got later.
Partial list of names and names, gender, and age of children in Pakistan and Yemen that were killed by U.S. drones.
And I see Mohammed Salim, age 11, male, killed by U.S. drone strike. Shehzad Ghul, age 11.
We have them as young as one and as old as 19.
And what's your source for these signs, for those who are skeptical?
The Bureau of Investigative Journalism.
Can I say that again?
The Bureau of Investigative Journalism.
That could be reached online, I assume.
Yes.
Okay.
To be the most accurate, there are three different groups to get names, but the other two are very, they're not precise enough.
I gotcha. Yeah. Again, this is the partial list of children killed in Pakistan and Yemen by U.S. drones attacks. Thank you, Mike. It has to be said that I would say 95% of the people here are over 50 or 60 even. And here's a man from San Jose holding up a sign. You came all the way over for this?
Yeah.
Doesn't San Jose, with a million, almost million people, need your message?
We got the pink, white, and blue parade over in San Jose. That's about it.
Pink, white, and blue means what?
I think it's like red, white, and blue. They just changed the color a little.
Bunch of pinkos pretending to be patriots.
No, it's all right around the Alameda in downtown San Jose.
Well, I see your sign says it's Peace and Freedom Party. Freedom for Bradley Manning and all political prisoners. Is the Peace and Freedom Party actually a viable party these days?
I don't mean viable. Viable to me.
There you go. I mean, is it on the ballot?
I think we're still on the ballot for... We're trying... Cindy Sheehan might run for governor, maybe. I don't know. Hopefully she will. She's back from her tour. She did a bike tour. So we'll find out from her shortly, I guess.
Haven't heard much from Cindy Sheehan, at least in the national media has not been highlighting her.
She did a two-month bike tour of the entire country, and she wound up in Washington, D.C., and she was on RT on Abby Martin the other day, where she ended it, basically, the tour. So she'll be back in the area.
Looks like you're getting some honks.
Yeah.
More than when I arrived, so keep up the good work.
Yep.
Here's a whistleblower. There you go. What's your name, whistleblower man?
He has a whistle around his neck, and he identifies himself for our records and, of course, for those of the National Security Agency.
Walt Oikel. And, Walt, you're responsible for some of these traitorous demonstrations at the town clock, are you?
Not intended to be traitorous. We're absolutely patriotic.
And is this any... You've done this last year and the year before, I mean?
I believe so.
How many years have you been doing this now?
On this corner, only probably those last 2 years. But I've been an activist for over 40 years.
Well, I know you started actually concerned about Bradley Manning 3 years ago. Some of us, you and I and five and six was others who actually had quite a march downtown, began that when Manning was taken into custody. Have things gotten any better?
Not so far as I can tell. I saw the movie Dirty Wars last night, and aside from Manning, there are a whole lot of other things happening that people ought to be aware of. See the movie Dirty Wars by Jeremy Scahill.
What's your sense of, I know this is a typical mainstream media question, but your sense of the growth or shrinkage or stagnation of the peace movement in Santa Cruz? Is it growing, shrinking, staying the same, changing, but not changing in size?
Boy, it's hard to say. You know, it's really hard to say. We'd like to engage more young people, you know, and help everybody be a part of all this.
And I know there are a lot of old guys and gals.
Yeah, that's the feeling, you know. Of course, we have more time than a lot of younger folks, but nonetheless, it seems that with the lack of a draft, for instance, people aren't feeling immediate effects on their own lives and have other priorities, especially in this economic situation. It's hard to say, Robert.
Well, as I said, it looks like every, I don't know, 15th car is giving a honk at least. No one's shouting, "You fuckers, go home," or anything like that, so it's good.
We've decided to just get out here and kind of give permission for everybody else driving by to express that they are not the only ones, you know? They can...
Well, I hope you won't be standing on the medians, because after July 11th, that will become illegal, as you may know, in Santa Cruz.
I did not know that. I'm not a city resident, actually.
Yeah,
I live
it's
in
all for your own safety, you understand.
Yeah, well, maybe we ought to be doing that now, then, before it becomes illegal,
I think I'll probably do it myself.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, but thanks for the message.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
There's a group coming any minute called the Median Strippers.
Ooh.
Yeah, whoa. I'm looking forward to this.
Very nice.
Robert's not of that persuasion, but, you know...
Well, I could join up, you know.
Oh,
I mean,
there you are.
I mean, I am wearing my shorties here.
You're halfway home.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, I don't like to...
And it was a hot day, so I did wear... actually, it was a bathing suit, though. I'd never got to a pool, and I am now comfortably clothed in some... Some old jeans. Actually, they're somewhat newer jeans. They're less tattered than the usual pair. If you want to comment on any of this or thoughts about other issues in Santa Cruz you think are relevant, even peripherally, you can give a call, 427-3772. If you're listening to this on July 4th, it's live. Otherwise, it ain't. So there you are.
So, yeah, it looks good. Any other thoughts? Anything coming up in the next month or two you want to point out to people?
No, I don't have any other plans right now myself. I'm not sure what other people might have in mind.
I mean, I think there is a meeting in solidarity, well, a demonstration on Saturday in solidarity with the Turkish, Brazilian, Egyptian people. That's going to be happening at night. There's an event tomorrow. Well, there's a Resource Center for Nonviolence event on Sunday, Sin Barras.
Let me get a
please,
paper.
Please do that.
And of course, Sin Barras is, as mentioned before, without bars, the prison industry in Santa Cruz. They were originally, I was part of a march that was concerned about the privatization of medical treatment or lack of medical treatment in the prisons, in the jail here in Santa Cruz. Four deaths in the last year, an unusual number of dead people in the Santa Cruz jail, I think, although I couldn't get a straight answer from, I think it was Stephen Bailey, or Baxter, who does the Sentinel story, when I sent him an email. I got a straight answer. He just didn't know, and he wasn't interested in doing the research.
Hey, Dirty Wars, by the way, yesterday, yeah.
There are other upcoming events, which I shall try to be more go to Indy Bay for those events.
Can I tell you about Restore the Fourth is today?
Tell me about that.
Today is Restore the Fourth Amendment Day. Restore the Fourth Amendment, you know, the one about illegal searches and seizures because of what Snowden has revealed, that the Fourth Amendment is, well, a lot of people think it's gone now, but we need to fight for it and restore it or save it or whatever.
The right to have that principle reinstituted.
Yes, to have the principle defended and reinstituted.
And those who are violating it prosecuted and put in the proper place.
And we do have a phone call. We're going to pick up that call now. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert, this is Pete.
Hey, Pete. You're interrupting yourself on the air here.
Oh, you put me on again?
Yeah, actually, well, ironically, at the very moment you called, you were talking about the Fourth Amendment, Restore the Fourth on the Fourth, that you talked about earlier.
Yeah, that's good. So I don't have to. My roommate had that sign. Today was a very important day for Restoring the Fourth. There was a guy who drove by in the car and said, "What about Snowden? You guys don't have any signs for Snowden." We did have signs for Snowden there.
Yeah, there were.
But I didn't want to talk about three quick things. I got this about the parade. I got it. It wasn't pink. It was in the paper. They said it was rosé. Oh. A rosé, blue and white parade.
Uh-huh.
Why they did that, I don't know. Also, I think most of the people coming over in those cars were from San Jose and all over the Bay Area. So I thought it was a great protest. And about Bradley Manning, about the up in San Francisco. Well, I haven't seen anywhere, any organized opposition to Bradley Manning, especially at that parade. There was none. There was one guy saying that he's screaming that he's a traitor or something. But I'm kind of curious about why there is no organized opposition to Bradley Manning. So you might talk about that. So that's about it.
Hey, well, thank you for calling in, Pete, and call in again.
Okay, I'll listen to me on the radio.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Or on the computer, as the case may be. I don't think that Bradley Manning supporters need to come out because they have the institutional structure is sewed up by the kangaroo court process that's going on in Langley, Virginia, or in Washington, D.C., wherever the hell that trial is taking place, where they're not allowing any kind of defense about the rights of the American people to know what's going on and the rights of American people not to be collusive with the murders that are going on overseas and that Manning revealed in the collateral murder video in Iraq, which is still available online if you want to check it out. It's a rigged game, just as often in the Santa Cruz courts, things are a rigged game. And it may take millions of people on the streets to change the rigged game. You never can tell. Let's hear some more from earlier today at the corner of Water and Ocean Streets.
Extent of the law.
Even to the fullest extent of the people's power, you might even say.
Well, that's what we need, yeah.
I got one of those.
Okay.
Yeah. It is actually, there is a benefit of the sanctuary movement tomorrow from 2 to 5 at 535 Spring Street, as I understand it.
Yeah.
Both from your flyer and from my own personal knowledge, I might add. This is for creating sanctuary for the homeless. And also for defending the Santa Cruz 11, who are going to trial again in September, the final four. A woman holding up a peace flag. What's this all about, madam?
I'm not committed.
You're here.
My name is Nina, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Nina.
My whole life is about that.
Very cool. Thank you, Nina. The raging grannies I've heard so much about.
Yes, we are the raging grannies.
What about the raging gramps? Is this some sort of sexist thing here?
Yes, it is. It's very sexist. We choose women.
I need a sex change to join the group?
Well, I don't think you would qualify even if you lost the beard.
See what I mean, folks? This is very discriminatory. So, are you going to be singing something today?
We are going to be singing a number of patriotic songs.
Oh, okay. Are you going to be doing that immediately or... It's at some point in the future.
At some point in the near future.
Okay. And we've been talking with that granny among grannies.
Jan Harwood.
Thanks, Jan. Anybody else have any comments to make at this time for free radio?
Our spokesperson is Jan. You talk to the main woman.
The main woman, all right.
This is our newest granny, Peggy.
My first granny expedition here.
Grannied in, so to speak.
Grannied in, yes. I'm excited.
Who are these associates to your right and left?
Judy Keir. Laura Chatham.
Hey. I know that I heard you folks at the, I guess, the rally at the town clock. I don't know if you were there. Probably not if this is your first time.
I came late.
But you had a larger group. Are all the grannies going to show in the hot sun today?
We do not know how many are going to show. We never know.
And the group did expand considerably. In the next hour or two, and there were numerous songs sung. You'll hear some of them in the background. I was spending most of my time interviewing people.
In fact, I even got me. Was there a man singing with you too at that time? I don't remember.
No, but sometimes Woody sings with us by invitation.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. We don't let him join. No way.
How are you? I'm very questionable. Wrong gender for one thing.
Right.
Anyway,
it's the only thing. Otherwise, he's perfect.
Fair enough. We could have a support group for the grannies. Grandsons for the grannies?
I think you should start your own auxiliary.
There you go. Good idea. An auxiliary. It's a traditional approach. You know, maybe do some cooking, cleaning, that sort of thing.
Yes. You can have conventions and everything, wear funny hats.
Segregated conventions, of course. Thank you very much. We've been talking with...
Jan Harwood.
Thanks, Jan. Here's a sign that says, Freedom for Edward Snowden and all whistleblowers. What does this mean, sir?
It means that patriots shouldn't be locked up for telling the truth.
Wait a minute. In the United States, patriots are being locked up for telling the truth?
I think that's what this indicates, yeah.
But Edward Snowden isn't even in the United States.
Well, I think I just read that he's in Russia, but he's not sure he's going to get asylum there.
Stuck in the airport because his passport.
Stuck in the airport. So he's still, as far as I'm concerned, not a free man.
Oh, for sure. Is this your first time on the line here? Or?
Yes.
And this, did Snowden inspire you to do this, or have other things also moved you?
It's a culmination of a lot of things, but Snowden's one of them. I've always felt some support for Bradley Manning. I thought he was railroaded and unjustly accused and not even been tried yet, as far as I know. So he's being held.
Actually, he's in the fifth day of his trial.
Well, they have started
But,
trial.
You know, it's a sort of a kangaroo court.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't expect much more. But
sixth week of his trial, the prosecution actually ended their case, and presumably the defense will begin its case again in a rigged scene where you... it's the parody of justice, of course, a real satire.
Yeah, I do.
And we've been talking with...
Ted Netty.
Thanks, Ted.
Yeah.
So we're talking with...
Yes, we're talking with Sarah Palin.
And Sarah, you've grown a beard since I last talked.
Yes, I've had some changes, not of heart, but just of three brain cells, and I could still see Russia from wherever I look. And, of course, we need to stick with our North Korean allies, and that's very important, because that's what we know.
Nuclear power overall?
Oh, 15 in my backyard this year if I can get them. Yeah.
And you're wearing this. You're wearing a green shirt, but you have the sign, do the drones hear the cries of the children dying on the ground?
It has to do with the bees. You know, if we don't have any drone bees, how the queens know what to do? You see, it's all very simple. It's always been simple.
We also have a Peace and Freedom Party, freedom from corporate rule. What does that mean?
Oh, it means the rulers aren't long enough to extend the size of our corporations. You see, we need longer rulers, maybe metric. I don't like that whole idea, but it might be necessary.
Yeah. We will return to you and your questionable analysis at some point.
I will talk to Darth Cheney this afternoon. We'll be going over this complete schedule.
Fair enough. And we've been talking with?
Darth. I'm Sarah Palin.
Keep that in mind, will you?
All right.
Thanks,
Robert.
All right. Hey, Murray. And what's your name?
Ralph. What's yours?
I'm Robert.
I know.
This is for free radio.
Ah, good. Are you going to be able to continue? I know there's a fundraiser.
No, we're off the air, but we are streaming. So tonight, your voice, as well as that of numerous other people, will be going out along with a discussion of this protest. Freedom for the press is the sign you're holding up.
Basic. To
suggesting we don't have a free press in the United States?
I'm suggesting it's more and more controlled by moneyed interests. Yes.
What about Santa Cruz? There's the Sentinel. Don't you have any confidence in the Sentinel?
Confidence. I glance through, but the things that I read are, like, local. I think they're clear about their biases.
Bias? The Santa Cruz Sentinel bias?
Woody.
Well, I do notice there's a growing number of people here. We began with about six or seven about half an hour ago.
My confidence is justified. I knew more would show.
All right, and do you wish to let us know for our FBI records exactly who you are?
They got enough of my records.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Thank you. Your sign say?
It says freedom from occupation.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, we are particularly cognizant of the occupation in Israel-Palestine, which our government supports with $3 billion a year. And it's been going on for 45 years. It's about time it ended. And it's only because of U.S. support for that occupation that it continues. So that's why we are supporting freedom from occupation.
What about the occupation of the Santa Cruz area by the, some have said that the feds here in Santa Cruz are, that there is an occupation force of a different kind domestically.
Well, I suppose that's true to a degree. I think that's true probably of almost any government. We have, today is the day of the American Empire, and so we, in a sense, are occupying in a lot of places, and in some extent here in Santa Cruz as well. But it's nothing like the experience that people in the Far East, in the Near East, particularly in Palestine, are experiencing and have been for 45 years. That's why we're trying to highlight that. And so many Americans are unaware of it. They simply don't know. They have a lot of propaganda in this country because of the lobbies in Washington. And so we're trying to make that as clear as we can.
Hear, hear. Now, I understand there's some homeless people who say that they feel like they're in an occupied territory because they're being run out of town, denied access to public spaces, arrested for sleeping at night, and so forth.
Yeah, there is, I think, some real truth to that. There is an effort in Santa Cruz on the part of some to simply make the city look pretty, to make it look nice, to bring in more visitors, to make more money. And that's an economic occupation which specifically affects the poor and particularly, of course, the homeless. So, and that's correct. If you think that through, there is a kind of occupation for people who are poor and people who are homeless in the Santa Cruz area as well. So I would agree with that, but one has to think that through carefully to understand what we're talking about.
And we've been talking with?
Daryl Yaney.
Thank you, Daryl.
You bet.
So we have an individual here with a sign.
I understand.
Aren't you one of those homeless people I've heard about? What are you doing with this group of housed, privileged individuals?
I'm homeless on the earth.
I see.
That they said was a home.
Actually, you don't look homeless. This is some sort of disguise you're wearing.
It's a label, like many other labels, imputed, empty of real meaning, but
Aren't you part of the needle problem we've heard so much about?
No, that I'm not a part of the problem.
What about the trash problem?
Believe it or not, I've been called trash.
How about
because
the illegal sleeper problem?
They say homeless people are trash, but that's another label. Anyway, would you...
Sure, yeah. What should I do here?
I want to one for my scrapbook.
Oh, okay. He's going to take a picture of me in all my glory here.
You want one for you.
All right. So we've been talking with that man about Santa Cruz.
Steve, the homeless guy who's labeled homeless.
Thank you. I do my part in trying to label you, as you noticed. I try to kind of, go along with Mayor Bryant and her new approach to clean up the town, for God's sake.
Can you read the label? That's the...
Well, that's another issue. It looks like that more and more people are joining us, and I suppose we'll allow people like yourself to join the... Is it good? Did it work? Okay, that's good. Thank you, Steve.
All right.
Any comments for free radio?
Comments for free radio?
Yes.
Well, I think that, it should seriously be looked at. Is Free Radio a corporation?
Free Radio is a free association of piratical types.
The reason I ask is because corporations need to be free.
And
we need to understand this.
Yeah.
And I was thinking maybe Free Radio...
Well, someday we could be a corporation if we ever had any organization. We are right now. We've been around for about 17 years, something like that, and we actually have lost our transmitter at the moment. But we are streaming. But you'll be on the air tonight, along with all these traitorous companions of yours in this lineup of signs. You see, your sign says "No More War." What's your name?
My name is Dick Vitito.
Are you a regular at these events?
I try to be. I'm too regular because it's been going on now for so many years, and so it. I think we have a sign in front of our house that's this sign, "No More War."
Uh-huh.
Been there since 2003.
Without any effect. Why are you doing the same thing again and again? Isn't that the definition of insanity, trying to do the same thing and getting
neurosis? That's Freud's definition.
Neurosis.
Yeah. And the whole thing of it is it could go on for 40 years. We hope to make it 20 years if we can. So,
but you hope to end the wars before then?
Oh, my God. We hope to. Yeah.
Well, it looks like the people are getting a little more honky-ish or vocal out there.
Yeah.
That's good.
I don't want to wake them up, but...
No.
Would y'all come to the corner for a few minutes to hear the grannies?
Why not?
Yeah. Is that going to be taking place?
With us.
Oh, thank you.
Is that going to be taking place?
I've been handed the Pop Goes the Planet.
Yes.
To the tune of Pop Goes the Weasel.
We've
been talking with...
Dick Vitito.
Thank you, Dick. So I see you have a flaggy T-shirt. What's your name, sir?
My name is Neil Sundermeyer.
And Neil, I see you have a sign that says "Freedom from the National Security State." But don't you feel more secure with the National Security State?
Heck no, just the opposite.
Really? And how long have you been under this this phobia of Obama?
I don't have a phobia of Obama. I have a phobia.
It's racial prejudice, isn't it? Admit it. Come on.
Oh, yeah, of course.
On the other hand, Condoleezza Rice. Well, that's another story.
She's
different. Obama is certainly much more liberal than Condoleezza Rice.
I'll say.
He's only what, quadrupled the number of whistleblowers prosecuted?
I don't know that. Is that true?
Yeah, something like that.
Shocking. Yeah, he shouldn't be doing that.
No, he shouldn't. And so, is this your first protest out here?
Oh, heavens no. I've done before.
Wow, well, good for you. And do you see any difference in this year than, let's say, the last few years?
Is this different? Well, there's more issues to protest about, I'd say that right now. Just about everything, almost. It seems like there's so many issues we need to be out here protesting and demonstrating about.
I mean, it looks like, I would say, 1 out of 10 cars is honking. Certainly a number of people are staring out the window.
I'm also amazed at the number of SUVs still going by in relationship to regular passenger cars. They're all gas guzzlers.
Well, this is America, you know.
Yes, that's true. Gas should be more expensive, in my opinion.
Well, any other thoughts for the folks out there before I move on?
I just hope that Obama gets true to his principles that he enunciated when he was running for office.
Oh, you are such a kidder, man.
He seems to be straying. I think he's got influences in his administration that are not good, but I don't know. He's giving the yes. Have you seen Dirty Wars?
I've
go see that movie.
I've heard Jeremy Scahill on, he's Democracy
he's
Now.
He's great. Yeah, it's a very excellently made movie, and I think it's an important movie. Every American should see it, especially every American who cares about our country.
Fair enough. And we've been talking with...
Neil Sundermeyer.
Thanks, Neil.
Retired.
Well, the FBI will hear of this.
Yes, probably.
Probably already has.
You want me to sign my Social Security number?
We've got our ear on you anyway.
All right.
Thank you. Here's a man with a sign. This is the most elaborate sign I've seen yet. It's, my God, what? You have to really get up close to read all the small print about Bradley Manning, free Bradley Manning, support veterans. Bradley Manning was tortured for telling the truth. Every time we witness an injustice and do not act, we train our character to be passive in its presence and thereby eventually lose all ability to defend ourselves and those we love. A quote from Julian Assange. What's your name, sir?
I'm Colin Campbell Clyde.
Now, is this, you consider this once-a-year protest by aging protesters, you're an exception, to be some sort of ending of passivity?
Well, I think it's interesting that I'm 35 years old. I'm the youngest person here. So it's put on by the Peace and Freedom Party. There does seem to be kind of a demographically aging crowd. I hope in the future that we can build more coalition and get more young people, maybe do some outreach to the college students and see kind of more of a diversity here. Because it's the sort of thing, you know, the right-wing talking point cliche is to say, oh, it's just a bunch of old hippies trying to relive the 60s. And I think that the actual substance and content of what we're protesting here goes a lot deeper than that, that we're actually in a deeper crisis now than we were when people were protesting the Vietnam War in the 60s. I mean, we're fighting the equivalent of the Vietnam War in multiple countries with remote control robots. There's global warming. There's a looming ecological crisis and the refugee, massive refugee crisis that's going to be triggered by that.
Now, looking at this protest, I'm noticing that no one is on the medians, even though it's still legal to be there until July 11th. Does this mean that the people are, should we say, anticipating and want to be law-abiding citizens here?
You know, it's funny you should mention that because I just got here, so I've been standing with the main group, but I've had it on my mind to go out on the median and kind of challenge that contested ground a little later on in the protest.
I will join you when you do.
Excellent.
We've been talking with
Colin Campbell Clyde. Watch the Magic Box on YouTube. Search for Magic Box Santa Cruz. Thank you.
Now, we not only have humans at this protest, we have certain dogs. What's this dog's name?
Doesn't have a name. He's Foster Dog.
Foster Dog.
I just got him yesterday.
A new dog.
Foster Care.
Oh, this is a white poodle, a very small white poodle. One might say a miniature
What
white
should
poodle.
I name him? Do you have any ideas for names? I was thinking of Snowden.
Snowden, that's true.
He's so white.
Well, that's true. He is white. Although I hope there's no race element involved here.
The name Snow.
Yes. Snowden. I gotcha. Now, that's true enough. So you're a long-time activist with the former Occupy Santa Cruz movement, and here you are again. Is this some sort of infiltrating of the movement by Occupy Santa Cruz? Are you an undercover agent for this traitorous group that we were finally able to get out of the county building and away from, you know, the homeless group? I mean, what are you doing here?
What am I doing here? I'm trying my own little way to get up the awareness of what's going on, to try to make this, all the injustices are done in the world, especially the latest with Snowden and Manning and the drones. It's crazy. It's crazy shit. So I'm just trying to make people more aware because everyone seems to be asleep. And they're more awake in Europe.
Have you been to Europe recently? Or?
No, I'm just saying they're upset over, I'm just talking about Snowden right now, but they're more upset over the loss of their privacy in Europe than we are in the U.S.
Well, it's because it's the U.S. government that is stealing the privacy. Now, if it was their government stealing the privacy, maybe they'd be happier.
I don't know. Maybe that's...
I'm making a whimsical statement.
That's an interesting thought, but, you know, maybe if their government was stealing from them, maybe they wouldn't stand up, but I don't know. I think the Americans are too asleep and they believe what they're told. That it's just for protection.
Well, not in Santa Cruz where it's illegal to sleep at night if you're homeless.
Yeah, that's
we've gone beyond
topic.
That.
It's a whole other topic. It's all messed up.
Well, I want to thank you and Snowden here, or whoever this doggy is, for coming to this protest.
And Sammy.
And Sammy, the traditional doggy you have with you.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And we've been talking with?
Abby.
Thank you, Abby. Are you drinking again, Woody? I see you have some booze with you.
Got some
mineral booze, mineral
pure,
water booze.
Pure H2O.
I see. So you're really sure it's pure? Do you have any needles on you? Have you been patted down yet?
Not today, but I'm sure that the Santa Cruz police have done that to a few people already.